Can we turn, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter 6? Now, the city, or if you like, the fortress town of Jericho, was a key city, and one that the Israelites had to take to progress further into the promised land. Its defeat, its capture, was a must if any progress was to be made. Now, the king of Jericho has taken precautions. It tells us there in verse 1, Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. So no doubt they have this security system, and no doubt they'd stocked up with provisions. They knew what was coming. They expected perhaps a rather long siege. So they would have stocked up with provisions to withstand that siege. Food, fresh water, and so on and so forth. And it tells us there that the gates were shut both day and night. People, in a sense, they're all penned in Jericho. No one is allowed out, and no one is allowed in. And the people that were in Jericho at this time, apart from Rahab and her family, they were hardened to their own destruction. Now, Jericho was strongly fortified. And what was going to happen next, the instructions that the Lord is going to give to Joshua, and by definition Joshua will give to the people, is going to test their faith. It's going to test their faith to a very strong measure. You see, this city will be taken, defeated, but it must be taken, it must be defeated in obedience to God's word and not by human wisdom, not by human calculation. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, we read this. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. The fear of the Lord is upon the people there in Jericho. And after verse 1, the following verses, orders are given to Joshua by the captain of the Lord's host. This, of course, is the same person we read or read of at the end of chapter 5. And basically what he says, I am giving Jericho into your hands. Now, the people in the city are all ready, they're strong, and they're ready, and they're going to defend their city with all the strength that they have. But it says, the Lord says, see, I have given, or if you want, but, I have given Jericho into your hands. Notice there, I have given. Not the army of Israel, but I, the Lord, has given Jericho into their hands. And it gives us the reminder, doesn't it, that the Lord is in absolute control of this whole situation. You see, he knows all about Joshua's concerns about how the city of Jericho is going to be taken, because it is such a strongly fortified city. But he says there, I have given. Not I will, I have given. He's already given this city to Joshua and the army of Israel. It's wonderful, isn't it? Not I will, but I have done. See, I have given. And these instructions that are coming are so emphatic. The Lord's assurance gives Joshua complete success. And surely we can apply that to our own lives, our own ministries. That we need to have, it's the Lord that enables us. It is the Lord that guides us. It is the Lord that directs us. We don't go for human wisdom. We don't go for human calculation. We don't go for worldly means to do this, that or the other. We look to the Lord. And with the Lord, we can be assured of success. Now, it doesn't say here, it just says, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you will do for 6 days. We're not told there the order of the march. It may well have been the same order as they marched or moved through the wilderness. But it would be carried out at a convenient distance from Jericho. What would happen if they got too close? They would be in range of the bows and arrows and things like that. And so they would stay far enough away, if you like, out of range. So that any attempt to harass them from the battlements would fail. And they're told what to do. Once a day for 6 days. Now, can you imagine for a moment what it must have been like to be stood there on the battlements in Jericho, and up comes this army, and all it does is walk round the city and goes back again. That's day one. You must be sitting thinking, what on earth's going on? It's not how you normally do things. Where are the catapults? Where are the scaling ladders and all the other bits and bobs that one would need? What are they doing? They just walked around and they've gone back. Do you think they might have had a bit of mockery? A bit of catcalling or whatever they call it? Yet they keep going. Doesn't matter what they think. It's what the Lord has said. This is the Lord's instructions. Don't worry about those people in Jericho. I'll sort them out in a few days' time. Keep going. Obey the instructions given. Again, an application for ourselves. We have to keep going. There is a time to stop. There is a time to change direction. There are times when we do cease this and we perhaps will start that. But it is all under the Lord's control. All under the Lord's instruction. And that's what we look to. See, the enemy there may have been full of mockery. And the enemy that we have, in our day-to-day lives, in our church lives, life, is wanting to put us off our guard. So easy, isn't it? To be put off our guard. And that's why, of course, it's very important that we realise the need of the armour of God. But for the people of Israel here, this was a test of obedience. You know, we're going to take Jericho. The Lord has said he's given it into our hands. But the first thing you've got to do today is you've got to walk around the city and then go back to camp. Oh, yes, yes. And tomorrow you'll do the same thing. And the third day. And the fourth day. And the fifth day. And the sixth day. It's a test of obedience, isn't it? A test of relying on the all-sufficiency of God. Now, you could certainly say this is not a normal siege. This doesn't normally happen in siege warfare, that people just walk around a city and do, it would appear to do nothing, and then go back to have a camp and have a meal and have a sleep and do the same thing the next day. They looked in vain, those on the battlements. They looked in vain for a battering ram or a catapult or anything else of that nature. But what the people of God had was God's gracious provision for the taking of the city. But this required exact instructions given to the people to be carried out. And of course we know further on where one person disobeyed the instructions and what was the result of that. But that's a much further down the line. And of course it brings him here the ark. It has a very special honour. And seven priests shall bear seven trumps of ram's horns before the ark. The ark there has a special honour. 6 days. And then comes the seventh. And of course one looks through the scriptures and realises that seven is a rather special number. And the trumpets that I had to blow would have been extremely loud. They weren't like the sort of things you might get in Last Night of the Proms. These were great big things, made probably of ram's horn and silver. They would be carried, of course, by the priests, and they had, of course, a ceremonial reference to them. And these trumpets would be blown on the seventh day. You see, it's all so exact, isn't it? There's no grey areas. You've got the instructions for one day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and something different on day 7. You know, there's no grey areas when it comes to the Lord. Everything's black or white, day or night. No grey areas. No shades of twilight. It's there for the Lord. And the Ark of God there is central in this undertaking. And as I say, the people will march around the city once a day for 6 days. They also, during these marches, these 6 days marches, they are to keep silent. And you imagine that. A whole army marching around Jericho, day after day, for 6 days, and absolute silence. It would be very tempting, wouldn't it, just to nudge your neighbour and say, you know, what do you think's going on? Or, I don't know, words like that. Absolute silence. What a challenge. On the seventh day, of course, They're told they're going to march around 7 times around the city. And then the priests will blow their trumpets. And the last blow of the trumpet will be a very long one. Their obedience in the previous 6 days, and now on the 7th, will soon result in the defeat of Jericho. This is the result, or that will be the result, of being willing to follow the Lord's instructions. And again, there's a lesson there for us, that we need to follow the Lord's instructions, not what perhaps the world may say, not what other churches may say, but what does the Lord say? What does the Lord instruct for us? And of course, as a result of their obedience and the long blast and the shout of the walls fall down. Well, not all of them. There will be a bit left up, the bit where Rahab and her family are sheltering. But it just happens. Were there any reason? No obvious cause, in a moment, the walls collapse. And they're not like one level of bricks in this. These are solid walls. No obvious means of strength. Just one thing. Power of God. The power of God. And it is a clear demonstration of the power of God. In Psalm 21 and verse 13, "Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power." Do you know the most strongest and the most highest walls cannot hold out against God's almighty power. And the same God that was with Joshua and the people then is on our side as well today. Then we come, if you like, to the account which the people made against Jericho. Joshua has understood God's word and God's promise. He believes it utterly. And now he faithfully and exactly executes all the instructions that he's been given. Doesn't leave anything out. Doesn't think, oh, I don't really need to do that bit. We'll do it all. All that the Lord has instructed, we will do. He gives instruction to the priests, and in particular, the ministry that they will have for those 7 days. The Joshua, you see, he doesn't suggest, doesn't ask, do you mind? He gives them their orders. Because these come from Almighty God. And it seems, reading just this passage, that he didn't tell them of the outcome that would happen on the 7th day. This formidable city, possibly the strongestly defended city in Canaan, will fall before the people of God in response to exact obedience. Exact obedience to the orders given to them by the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, we read this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Again, there's a lesson for us, isn't it? What are we? Weak? Feeble? But we don't look to carnal means, do we? We look to the Lord to equip us, to enable us, and to ask for his wisdom and guidance so that lies ahead. 6 days marching in silence. That's a challenge in itself, isn't it? And the long suffering of the Lord is about to cease concerning Jericho. The transgressions of the Canaanites within its walls were soon to be punished. Now, the people of God are armed just in case, and they don't know this, of course. Remember, they've just been told to march around the city. They're armed just in case it's possible that the inhabitants of Jericho would come out and make an assault on them. Probably unlikely, considering how frightened they were of them. But a possibility. But also, they would need their weapons, of course, when the walls fell down. And they would need their weapons, of course, to carry out God's instructions concerning the people of Jericho. Instructions are given to the people. They are to follow the priests. And again, notice how precise all this is. The priests had to wait until all the people had taken their allotted positions. There was no off we go. It was organized and precise. Priests and people together. And the rear guard, of course, would be the people who transported the baggage. Many of them, of course, probably would be unarmed. But they would be there as a witness of what was going to happen. And wherever the ark went, the people attended to it. Armed men went before. They would remove any obstacle in the way. Two groups. Those who went before the ark and those who followed the ark. And of course it would be the fighting force that would be in the lead. And starting before the right time would be ineffectual. There must, as I say, be absolute silence. No having a chat. No having a gossip. Nothing like that. No speaking whatsoever. It's not an easy thing to do. To march under strict silence. I wonder how we'd manage. Amazes me sometimes how much people have to talk about before a service and after a service that has nothing to do with the service. Silence sometimes is golden. So what is it? The first command, walk around the city. The second command is the Amen, pass before the Lord. The third command, maintain total, absolute, strict silence. Notice no explanations are given. What was it? Ours not to reason why, ours but to do or die. Into the valley of death rode the six sons. Well, I know that was an absolute blunder and a total mess up, and not one of our most glorious episodes in our military history. Nothing like that here, of course, because the Lord's organising this. So there won't be no mess ups. There won't be no vain glory. But you notice no explanations are given. This is the Lord's instructions. You do this, you do that, you walk round the city, you maintain silence, and so on. That's the instructions. I don't know if anyone said why. I don't know if they had barrack room noise in those days. But they did what they were told. They acted on the Lord's instructions. And sometimes the Lord doesn't give us an explanation. Why is this happening, Lord? And do we not pray regularly? Why is this happening? Why is this not person who I prayed for so faithfully for years not being saved? Why aren't the Lord bringing people in? There's a church that's closed up the road 3 or 4 weeks ago. Not one person has come to us. Why not, Lord? We need to accept that the Lord doesn't owe us any explanations. Why he does this, saves this person, not that person, guides this one here, guides that one there. We need to just rest in him and look to him. The people of God here are going to walk, or march, shall I say, march around. There's a big difference, isn't there, between marching and walking. They're going to march around the city for 6 days. Just once a day. I don't know how long that would take. And then they would return to the camp. They'd be allowed to have a chat there. They'd probably have a meal. And they'd have a little chat around the campfire, no doubt. And they would then have a sleep, ready for the next day. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 7, we read this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. If we walk by sight, we would give up. But we walk by faith, with the Lord's gracious help. And as we go into the future, whatever the Jericho we may have to face, both as a church, both as individuals, we need to go there to it with the instructions and of the Lord, the teachings of the Lord. And we look to him. We look by faith and not by sight. And may the Lord help us in these very difficult days to know his enabling grace, his guiding, his leading, and his great love. And that we trust in him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way than to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.